Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Acts chapter 4 is where I'd like you to be. So thankful and grateful that you're here tonight. I have a message. I brought two. One just for Beverly, in case it was her and I. And one for the rest of you. How many of you worked Fall Festival? You had something to do with Fall Festival. Yeah. You feel it, don't you? You feel it. And I wanted just to take a few moments. It's 6:14. My goal is to be done at 6:30 or 6:35. And I just wanted to end the weekend loving on you and thanking you for your love for the Lord, thanking you for your service to the Lord, and thank you for your heart for the Lord. I had a lady leave today, and she blessed me, and she said, Pastor, the one thing that I appreciate about you is you have a pastor's heart, and it comes across when you preach. Your heart comes across. And she said, I love you for that. That meant a lot to me because I asked God to continue to give me a pastor's heart. And I love the people that he allows me to pastor. And I kind of want to just share with you tonight from my heart kind of my perspective on Fall Festival. And boy, this is, I think, the 15th Fall Festival we've done since I've been here. I think before, or the very first year that we did a Fall Festival, it happened in the Fellowship Hall. Was anybody here when we did the Fall Festivals in the Fellowship Halls? And that's where it started, and then it's moved outside, and somebody told me, Pastor, could you make up your mind? You keep flipping it on us on one side of the building, one side of the building. And I don't know, it just kind of keeps you surprising and guessing. But I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have had, especially in the evangelistic outreach to the Fall Festival. Of course, I was delighted to see all the people. Somebody asked me, did you count all the people? There's no way to count all the people. They're coming from everywhere. But it's a joy to see them. If you missed the morning service, I brought some things to show you tonight. I just want you to catch a glimpse of what I think is a tremendous blessing that God is doing in our church. And that blessing is the fact that he sends people to us, guests to us. So the best they could last night, they did the registrations. And I have the registrations here, and in my hand I'm holding 119 registrations where people marked it was either their first time or that they would like information about Plantation Baptist Church. That's not people, that's families. Families. So somebody at the registration table marked how many members were in each group. And it goes all the way from 1 to 9. God help the 9. Interesting thing was how people heard about the Fall Festival. So we asked about that. Numerous ones. Here's 100 and almost 150 of ones that just said, no, it wasn't our first time. We have everything. But when you go through these, our teenagers that went door to door on Wednesday night, knocking on the doors and hanging those out, we had families come that received that invitation on Wednesday night, and they came to the Fall Festival on Friday. Thank you, Brother Simeon. Thank you, Brother Turner. Thank you, young people, for going out there before church on a Wednesday night, handing out the door knockers, coming to church, enjoying the service. And then afterwards, they had choir practice. They worked like dogs on Friday night. And many of them were here at 8:00 in the morning to get ready for their choir number. And they stayed all the way till about 11:30 to sing. I think we should say amen to that, right? Wonderful. I'm proud of them. Reuben, Facebook, email, where people were coming from, word of mouth, that they were invited there. All of these were ways that people, through school, teacher, Halloween. I mean, God just used wonderful opportunities. And so we have a responsibility to follow up on these families. And here's my pastor's heart. I want to make sure that they get to hear the gospel. Right? Right. So this is work. So when you wonder, what does Pastor and the guys do the rest of the week? This is what we do. And this is what Carol does and Beverly does. And we're on the phone and we're scheduling appointments and we're reaching out to people. I've got numerous appointments this week with people that have been coming and they need to be saved. And they're listening to the gospel. They're hearing the gospel and they're ready to receive the Lord. And so this is what we do there. I thought I would show you this. On a Sunday morning, I always ask for visitor cards, right? And I told you I would do this. The best I can figure, I have 160 cards right here that represent families just in 2019. So this does not include the families that are out of town guests. That's another stack of cards. And probably if we have 10 visiting families on a Sunday, 5 of them will fill out a card. Some of you were guilty about that too. And so I ask them at the door, did you fill out a card? No. How many times have you come? 5. Would you please fill out a card so we can have a record of your attendance? People are nervous about that. That's 160 families that have visited our church in 2019 that were willing just to fill out a card. These are what we call prospects. These are people that are your friends, your neighbors. These are people that have just found us online. They've called Google. When asked if they were married, separated. They needed to come to church. Noticed driving by. How is that? That's God. Valentine. Brother Valentine. I saw him this morning. Brother Valentine, Joey, Christmas lights, little birdie in the sky. No, my lifelong friend, Julie Gonzalez. Let me tell you something. You got a lifelong friend that cares about your soul. That's a good friend, right? I could go on. Joey Callahan, Carol Williams, Randy Williams must have invited these folks. Attended with Miss Mary, Amanda Fernandez, the internet, a pastor, these people were blank, a friend, Devin Newton invited somebody. We got these people live in Puerto Rico 50% of the time, and they're coming to church. Sybil Green, friend, Stephanie, not a member, but invited somebody to our church. I get all of these on the back. I found one person wrote on the back, I found peace. These people, oh man, come on, Lord. These people wrote this. Please pray for me to be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. I want to learn. Okay. So, newly saved, and they live in Pembroke Pines. So, as people are coming into our church on a Sunday, and they fill these out, these are what we call prospects or leads or so on and so forth, where we go after them with the gospel. 160 families is a lot for the staff and I just to handle. Some of this we could use some help on. But you have to know how to help. You can't be mean. And you have to understand the gospel and reaching out to people. If you wanted to be involved in some of that with people work, you come and maybe speak to me a little bit about that and I can see how we can do this. But the opportunities are endless. So I enjoyed the people being here, as did you. But my number one, I guess, enjoyment was watching our church work together. As a pastor, you love to see your people work together. And I was thinking about that, and not just working together physically, but working together spiritually. And I came to Acts chapter 4, and I want you, if you would please, to come to verse number 31, we'll start. And all through the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, verse 6, verse 15, chapter 2, verse 6, verse 44, chapter 4, verse number 31, chapter 12, verse 12, chapter 14, 27, I could go on and on and on. You find moments in the book of Acts where the church comes together. And sometimes Problems bring them together. Sometimes opportunity brings them together. Often it was ministry that brought them together. And so you find that every time they came together, something special happened. And it was a unique way that the church was moving forward in a togetherness. And I wanted to read this to you because I was so blessed and moved watching you guys work together. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. What's the word? Together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed, watch this, were of one what? And one, that's a unity. That is a togetherness. That is something very special that happens when the church comes together. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. They laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's not teaching communism there. It wasn't a forceful thing. This was just something they wanted to do and be blessed. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So you have a moment here where the church comes together. And they're brought together on a very unique purpose. If you come back to verse number 29, it's persecution and threatening that has brought the church together. They had been preaching the gospel. Early in the chapter, they're told not to do that anymore. But Peter and John have to obey God rather than men in this area. And so in verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." So in this situation, it was persecution that brought the church together. And it had a tremendous effect. When the church comes together, it's a powerful, powerful movement. It's something that God uses corporately. It's something that God uses publicly. But it's also something that God uses privately and personally. And there are some things that happen when we work together. Not just physically, but when we also work together spiritually with a goal of one heart and of one soul. And so as I look at Friday night, it wasn't so much about us working like crazy for basically fun and all that. We were working for the souls of people. One heart, one mind for the souls of people. These papers represent souls. These cards represent souls. Our church will lose the blessing of God if we lose our burden for souls. Has to dominate us. And when we come together in that burden, and we're in unity of heart and of soul in that direction, it's a beautiful thing to watch. And so as the pastor, I just stand back and watch. And what it does corporately, it does individually. What it comes across as publicly, it has to come out of our private lives with the Lord. For example, let me show you. Here are some blessings, I think, that we get individually from working together. Verse number 31, it says, "And when they had prayed." And I know as we work together, we spent time praying for the Fall Festival. It's wonderful to pray with your church. It's wonderful to pray as part of something. It's wonderful to join other believers in a vision that's larger than yourself and to pray. And so we prayed that God would protect us. We prayed that God would move, that God would bring the people, that God would present the gospel to them. And I found when I'm encouraged to pray corporately with my church family, it inspires me to pray privately. If you found that to be true, say amen. So I hope you prayed for the Fall Festival. I hope you did. So as we work together, it forces us to pray individually. And I love to watch you pray. I love to hear you pray. I love to see the fruit of your prayer. I love when people come and say, I've been praying for that. The second thing it does, as I was watching in verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? Filled. I have found that when the church is moving corporately toward a goal in unison of heart and mind, I want to be part of that. And I know that I in order for me to really be truthful or legitimate, I can't let everybody else come right with God and me be wrong with God. So in working together, it forces us as individuals to be filled with the Lord. So your pastor said things like this. Come with the joy of the Lord. When you got off the bus, I reminded you that, right? No dirty looks. No hollering. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The devil's always looking for an opportunity to get a foothold, and he will use a believer who's not filled with the Spirit of God and put them in the flesh, and the devil will get a foothold into what's going on. You don't want to be that person. And so I was so blessed to stand there Friday night and to see you get off and have the joy, get off the bus or get out of the car or get ready to go and have the joy of the Lord. And I knew that you had emptied yourself and said, okay, Lord, here am I. Use me tonight. Fill me tonight. Help me to be a blessing tonight. And what a blessing it was. The third thing that it does to us as we work corporately, and it helps us privately, it says when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Did you find yourself being bold Friday night? One man texted me, and I forgot my phone. Rats. And he said in his booth, many of the folks that came were Catholic, Jews, or non-religion people. Many of them were there for the very first time. And he said, I had the wonderful opportunity to invite them back to church. When you were on the property Friday night, it was easy for you to invite people to church, invite them back. Working corporately together, really and truthfully, builds an individual boldness. Sometimes when we labor by ourselves, then we're vulnerable or we're weak or we're timid. But there really is truthful, there's safety in numbers. And so as I was watching you Friday and you're bringing people up and you're introducing them to me, or I overheard conversations and you were inviting folks to church, you were entertaining spiritual conversations, there was just this wonderful boldness for the name of Jesus on the property. And I was blessed by that. And I think the people that came ran into people that love God. And we're unashamed of that. Fourth thing. Come down to verse 33. And it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great, what's that word? Grace. I felt Friday night the presence of God on the property. I felt the graciousness of the Lord on the property. It felt like a special moment to us. And so think about this now. As the church is of one heart and one mind, we're moving toward a goal. We're working together. The goal is the souls of the people. It forced me as an individual to pray. It forced me as an individual to make sure that I emptied myself. And by the way, I went around looking for who was mean in the church. And it forced a boldness upon me, but it also forced a graciousness about me. This is why I said things to you like, not everybody that's here is going to be a Christian. Not everybody's going to treat the property the way you would treat the property. Not everybody's going to say the words that you say. But when they run into the gracious Spirit of God in God's people, it disarms them. It alerts them. It intrigues them. Everywhere I went, I felt the grace of God. I saw the graciousness in my people, in the people of God, and in our church. And I felt like it was a special moment out there. And the people that were visiting felt it as well. And the reason I know that is because they shared with me things like, man, we don't run into this too much, or what a blessing it was to be here. Your people are so kind, and it's been so gracious. I can't believe it's free. Right. Lastly, verse number 35. None of them, in verse 34, they sold things as they saw need. In verse 35, it says, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And I think the one thing that I was impressed with, and as a pastor humbled by, and just wanted to thank you for, was as we prayed, and as we were filled with God, and as we were found a boldness in ourselves to lift the Lord Jesus and to speak to people and to invite them to church and to be used in that way, and the graciousness of God began to shine forth in our lives, then there was this burden for others. And to the point where nobody was fighting for their way, or nobody was fighting for their direction. It was all about our guest. It was all about making an impression for our guest. And if I had to suffer a little bit, I had to suffer a little bit. If I didn't get to eat a hot dog, I didn't get to eat a hot dog. If I had to work a line, I had to work a line. But I could just tell as I was watching our church, we were really actively engaged in dominated in our mind by others. And by the way, it's a joy to serve others. It feels good to serve others. Selfishness feels good in the rage and in the moment, but you so regret it. I was dead dog tired when I went home Friday night. Can we get an amen for that, right? But it felt good to serve people. It felt good to work together. It felt good to watch us in one heart and one mind. It felt good to pray corporately and individually. It felt good to be filled with the Spirit of God, to have a boldness and a graciousness in others about us. And I just wanted to tell you, as your pastor, that I was proud of you. I thank you for that. I wanted you to get a glimpse, because sometimes you come to church and you see the ministry part of church. And you see the preaching, you see the choir, you see the special music, you see the Sunday school, you see the parts of it. But when you pierce to the heart of what we're doing, it's all about people. It's all about the souls of people. So here's what I want you to do. Keep praying that God would use us to win people. Keep emptying yourself and being filled with the Spirit of God, led and controlled of the Spirit of God, to where your flesh is suppressed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to where there is a graciousness that falls upon you from the Holy Spirit of God. A boldness develops in you. And you will find that you will be more bold in public. public, as you become bold corporately, it nurtures that. Now you kind of have heard yourself say what you need to say. Now you've kind of confronted with people. So now when you're in Publix or you're in Walmart or you're in the job or whatever, it's going to be very easy to say, listen, if you don't have a church home, I'd love to invite you to Plantation Baptist Church. And that boldness continues. And then also continue with one heart and one mind about others. I don't know that anything will rob me of the power of God than selfishness in my life. And I appreciate, and this is a crude way to say this, taking one for the team, but Jesus is worth taking one for. Right? Right? And so that's kind of how my perspective of Friday night went. The stories are still coming in. It was a tremendous blessing. And I hope and pray that God will use this and these, and we'll have many folks that will come to faith in the Lord Jesus. I didn't miss it by too much. 6:39, Allie told me I preached way too long today. I told her to go to her room and close the door. Let's pray, shall we?